The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
It is 100 days since the vaccination campaign began here in this country. There, of course, have been some successes, some bumps along the way. Fingers crossed for plenty more success and far fewer bumps in the future. And we're going to speak in a moment to Róisín Shortall, the co-leader of the Social Democrats, about the rollout and about some of the other initiatives that are being looked at, including vitamin D for everybody to prevent the spread of COVID or lessen the impact of it. We'll talk about the vaccination rollout in a moment, maybe Róisín, after I speak to Adrian. But tell me more about this plan, or this mooted plan, to supply vitamin D to everybody.
Good afternoon, Kieran. Yes, today the Oireachtas Health Committee launched a report that it had compiled in relation to vitamin D supplements. Now, some time ago, we had a group of experts in this area, a number of clinicians and academics who've come together and who've been studying the whole area of vitamin D supplements. And they came in and made a very significant presentation to us in terms of, first of all, looking at the Irish population and the level of vitamin D deficiency, and it's very significant across all age groups. Obviously, at the older age groups, it is more significant. But, you know, from teens right up, it's in for people in their 20s, there was a deficiency of nearly 50%, and it increased from there. So that's the starting position. Obviously, you get vitamin D from sunshine. For most of the year, we don't have enough sunshine or don't have access to it, especially when people were tied to their houses. But also then in relation to our diets don't actually provide sufficient vitamin D. Even, you know, when we have healthy diets, we still don't get enough. And that's why there's a very strong recommendation that we should all be taking vitamin D supplements. And that was the overriding recommendation from the report today. But there was also the question of, you know, better access to it for people on medical cards, reducing the cost and so on.
Logistically, would there be any difficulty or any problems that you would foresee in trying to roll that out? Are there other countries who are doing it?
Yes, there are a lot of other countries doing it. And, you know, there were a number of examples and where studies had been done in other countries. Finland was kind of the standout country in terms of their levels of vitamin D as a result of a combination of fortified foods and also taking daily supplements. There aren't many fortified foods here. We don't have that as a public health policy. You can get fortified milk and cereals, but they tend to be quite expensive. So, you know, you can take a daily supplement. It has to be of the right quantity, obviously. And the recommendation is that, you know, it's a reasonably high quantity, and that if you take that, you can build up your vitamin D levels very quickly. And we know that vitamin D is very important for bone and muscle strength, but also the research would show that it's really important in relation to a whole lot of other health aspects, and particularly in relation to respiratory conditions and the immune system. And that's where the issue arises in relation to COVID,
okay,
you know, being a respiratory condition. And people with compromised immune systems, you know, are at high risk.
Okay.
So that's why the recommendation is there that we should really all be taking a good quantity of vitamin D on a daily basis.
Well, Róisín, don't go anywhere, because Adrian is back on the line. Adrian O'Doherty, whose mother, Anne, like I said, 86 years old and still waiting for a vaccine. Adrian, apologies there with the issues we had with the line. You were just explaining to us your mother's experience of trying to get the vaccine.
Yes. She's unable to travel to any centre or to her GP surgery. Her GP, in this case, wasn't able to do it from a surgery. Rockdock in Ashburn was where she was meant to go to have her vaccine. When I let them know that she would not be able to travel there, they just said to get in touch with that they would be putting her name on the National Ambulance Service list for a house call to be vaccinated. But there was absolutely no communication after that. We heard nothing. When I'd ring her GP, they tell me to contact the HSE and give me a number. When I rang that number, they were telling me, get back to her GP. And in the meantime, she's listening to Paul Reid on the daily briefings from the HSE every evening, saying that all the over 85s and the over 80s are now vaccinated. And she's not. And she's become extremely distraught because of it. and she's not sleeping, her appetite is going. And it's all down to the lack of communication. If somebody would just come out and say, the housebound are not vaccinated yet, we're not able to get around to them. But instead of that, they're being ignored.
You mentioned she's distraught, you know, while she's waiting for it. Does she feel particularly vulnerable? How is she today?
Absolutely. I mean, she spent Easter Sunday in tears. It really got to her that day, because the other elderly in the community locally, they've all, those that are mobile, they've all had their second vaccines at this stage. We haven't, Mammy lives with my sister in a complete bubble for the last year. We're not able to go into her. She has no life anymore. And then she's hearing these lies being told that all the over 80s and the over 85s are now vaccinated when they're not vaccinated. And you can't get any information. I did manage to make contact, thanks to one of my local TDs, with the National Ambulance Service. And they told me that they have hundreds upon hundreds of people to vaccinate. And they have no idea when they can get out to my mother.
So your mother, in the meantime, is just left in limbo?
Absolutely, with no communication. And that's what has her so distraught. If they would just come out publicly and say that the housebound are not yet vaccinated, but let them know that they haven't been forgotten about or they're not being ignored. My mother feels she's been penalised because she's housebound through no fault of her own, but this absolute terrible lack of communication, and then having to listen every day from the HSE briefings that all the over 80s are now vaccinated. They are not vaccinated. My mother is certainly not vaccinated.
And it must, you say she's distraught and she spent Easter Sunday in tears. It must be difficult for you and the family as well, waiting for your mother to be vaccinated, knowing how vulnerable she is and seeing how upset she is.
It is. I mean, I've spent the last fortnight contacting all our local TDs, the HSE, anyone you can think of, and getting absolutely nowhere. Just the usual standardised response, thank you for your email, we've taken note, but getting nowhere. Like I say, it was only through one of my local TDs, Darren O'Rourke, who I managed to get in contact with the National Ambulance Service, and one of the administrators there told me, like I said, that they have hundreds upon hundreds of people to visit to vaccinate, and that they are doing the best they can with the resources that they can that they have, but that they have no idea when they'll be able to come out and vaccinate my mother.
Well, listen, fingers crossed. We all have our fingers crossed. I promise that it's sooner rather than later. And we appreciate your time, Adrian. Adrian O'Doherty, whose mother Anne, 86, and still waiting for the vaccine. Roisin, there are still problems in the system, aren't there? There have been successes over the last 100 days. But I know you were listening there. You heard about Anne. Anne is not an isolated case. And then you've got stories like obviously St. Jude's and Bray and other stories today being reported of schools and teachers getting it out of step and Stephen Donnelly having to condemn it. You've got stories like the Coombe Hospital. You've got HSE administration staff. There's plenty of kinks that still need to be ironed out.
Sure, and Adrian's mother's case is by no means an exceptional case. We're getting a lot of complaints in our offices about this as well. And I think the messaging has been very, very weak, I have to say. Rather than giving clear, specific messages talking about what group are currently being vaccinated, you know, there's generalisations being made and then people think that they should be called next, and there's quite a long delay. For example, in relation to the over 70s, a month ago it was announced that the over 70s were being vaccinated, and of course the HSE hasn't got all of the over 75s done yet. So this thing of raising expectations and then people being disappointed or left quite anxious, it's not fair really, and there's a need for much clearer messaging on this, and being much more specific about what cohort of people are being vaccinated at any particular time. So there's a lot of kind of loose messages there, and that's not good enough. And I'd have to say the same applies in relation to what's called the fourth cohort, and that is the 160,000 people approximately who have serious underlying conditions that put them at a high risk. And again, it was announced a few weeks ago that group were going to be vaccinated. At this stage, like 3 weeks later, only about 45,000 of that cohort have been done, and other people in that group are being left. These are people whose health is seriously compromised, and they're left not knowing when they're likely to be done, what are they supposed to be doing. I've had several people in touch who have been in touch with their consultant. They're sent back to their GP, they go back to the hospital to find out, and it's just that lack of information. A lot of that arises from the fact, of course, that we don't have individual health identifiers in this country. You know, there's no database of patients or even people with underlying conditions. And for that reason, you know, it's very difficult to identify those people. And we're paying a price now for that because we should have introduced those identifiers years ago.
Róisín, we appreciate your time. Róisín Shorto, the co-leader of the Social Democrats.